Good afternoon, boils and ghouls. It is almost Halloween, and it is the Unbalanced Note on the Multimedia Men Podcast Network on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. I'm Brian Kluger. Oh, my gourd. It is almost Halloween. Tomorrow is Halloween. The fucking goblins and zombies and naked witches are all in effect right now. I'm joined by the scariest man of all time, Jacob Douglas.
Your accent, like, tapered off, like, halfway through that. I thought you were going to go through the whole thing with that.
You lost it. I lost it.
What if there were fucking ghouls and goblins?
And naked witches?
Yeah. Oh, only... I think there should only be naked witches. Although, I guess it'd be hard to tell if there was a witch, because you kind of need the hat and the get-up.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. It's a kind
of... Is it part of it?
It's a witch, dude. Yeah, like a Girl Scout.
Huh. Well, they are here, I think, right? Are there zombies? They're probably zombies, right?
Yeah. I don't think they eat people, but there's definitely a bunch of brain-dead idiots.
Yeah. This is our Halloween special episode. We're excited to be here. We're going to be talking about a lot of horror music, a lot of scary music, horror music, women of the night music,
poison. We're going to be talking about poison and rat.
Whores.
Yeah.
Horror music and horror soundtracks. That's what we're going to talk about today. And we even have a one-hit wonder of the horror variety. I'm sure you'll be able to figure that out. Once we get there, it's going to be glorious.
You know, if you think about it, kind of all the one-hit wonders we've done up to this point have kind of been horrific.
Well, some of them, most of
them. It's Raining Men. That would get, you would get excited about that?
No, that's
your favorite song, dude. Oh, shit. Turn on the radio. It's Raining Men. Turn up the volume. You get pumped up for that, dude.
I do not get pumped up for that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It'd be horrific. Be falling on your car while you're driving down the road. And then we did, what was the other one? Aqua?
I'm a Barbie Girl.
Yeah, I'm a Barbie Girl.
It's your favorite.
Horrific.
One.
No.
Just, I'm Too Sexy was probably the funniest.
That's the best out of all of them. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They've been horrific up to this point. This one's actually good.
It is good.
This is a song I would enjoy hearing, actually.
Let's start off with an interesting bit of political news.
Oh, no.
Pharrell, is that how you say his name, Pharrell?
For real. I don't know.
Sent Donald Trump a cease and desist letter for playing his song Happy on the day of synagogue shooting. where somebody went and shot up a synagogue, a bunch of people died. And I guess... The guy who did that, Pharrell Williams, sent Donald Trump a cease and desist letter today after the president played his song Happy at a political event in Indiana on that same day. I wonder why he didn't say... A lot of people are doing that to Trump, right?
Suing him?
Well, like, cease and desist, don't use my song.
Yeah, they are. I mean, like, the Stones did it. Like, because he would always come out to You Can't Always Get What You Want, which I think that's pretty funny.
Right.
Like, he's the ultimate troll, man. But, yeah, I think a lot of people have asked him to not... Use their
it.
Music.
Well, it seems like he's not asking for permission. He's just using it. But can you use it to come out at an event?
I don't see why you can't.
I mean, if it's used in a film, I can see the copyright. But if you're just...
Well, think about it this way. If you did that, then you would have to start dictating like who gets to buy and wear your shirts.
That, and also, like, would you sue everybody on Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know? Like, I don't think it's a... Once it's out there, it's out there. It's kind of like what we were talking about before the... You know, with your copyright infringement thing?
Yes.
It's maybe similar to that, right? It's like, really? Like, now you're just being a dick.
Right.
It's unnecessary to do this.
It is unnecessary.
But I don't know. That's weird, though, that Pharrell would do that, because I think the whole point of that song, it's obviously in the name. It's supposed to, like, I guess, cheer people up.
Right.
It would make me vomit if someone played that for me. And I know the song.
I know the song,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, that song would actually make me angry. But yeah. I can see how, like, suburbanites and, you know, people that get excited about voting would go, oh. Like, they'd be doing the over-exaggerated hand clap that's, like, a beat behind the actual beat.
Yeah.
The elbows would be going, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
A very white lady clap.
Yes. So it's interesting. And, like I said, Donald Trump had the event in Indiana the day of the shooting. And I guess he used the song Happy, which I don't know if there's any...
thing with that, but that happened.
I would like to know what else he played.
Yeah, who knows what he's... Yeah. I don't know. I know, well, he's been playing several different things, and a lot of people... I think Neil Young was one of them.
Yeah, Neil Young. Yeah, because I think he did Rockin' in the Free World or something.
Yeah, does not want that. Other news. Ava DuVernay, who directed that Martin Luther King film... And Ava DuVernay, she also did something else recently. Oh, I can't remember. Do you remember?
I don't even know who that is.
She's a female director, black female director. I can't remember the movie she did.
Was it Black Panther?
She did Selma. She did The 13th. She did A Wrinkle in Time. It was announced recently that she is making a documentary for Netflix based off of Prince. So there is going to be a Prince documentary.
God, give it a rest. I mean, come on. Like, really? Like, I mean, I don't get it. Why are people making all these things? Like,
well, I mean, I would say that something like Michael Jackson or Prince was notoriously kind of a hermit and like kept to themselves. So I guess people would like to see like the inside of their house, maybe their estate,
man,
would like, okay, this is what Prince was really like. This is whatever. And I think it's going to be done well.
So just leave it alone, though. That's kind of like the mystique that you get with it. Like, kind of similar to who we're going to talk about later, right?
Yeah.
These dudes, you know? When they were anonymous and you kind of didn't know what was going on, it made everything else that much better, you know?
Right.
Kind of like the fucking, like, John Deacon from Queen. He's like a recluse now.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anything to do with Queen. He thinks that what they're even doing with, like, Freddie's image is just too much.
But people love it.
That's, I know, but...
want. Why?
Because some people will have a deeper respect for what's actually going on there. Like, Prince was, like, an enigma. Like, he was, like, a larger-than-life person. He kind of transitioned or transcended like a lot of things.
Correct.
Music, fucking, if you're into like fashion, I guess.
Yeah. You
know, he did all kinds of shit. No. But that mystique is what adds to him. I think if you pick him, if you do something like that, I don't know. I'm not excited about that. Whatever.
I'm excited. Yeah. About it.
Why does it take people to die though for someone to make a documentary about it?
Well, you say that, I guess DuVernay was working on this documentary several months before he died.
Oh yeah. I'm sure she, I don't believe that.
That's what it says. But, Prince's estate has given its complete blessing to DuVernay for the documentary. So, you know, I'm curious. I would love to see like why he's into Jesus and pussy so much. It's one of those.
Because the same reason people are into Jesus and money, it sells.
Yeah.
It's an easy way to get chicks, dude.
Yeah, I guess so.
Church girls, be careful. Earth girls are easy, dude.
No, I'll definitely. And it's going to be Netflix only, so that's, I mean, we'll get to see it. I'm curious. It's going to be
how good it is.
Yes, there you go. Some horror news. The Netflix TV series, which has created a huge, huge following already, been praised. The Haunting of Hill House. Have you watched it?
No, I've heard about it.
It's excellent. 10 episodes on Netflix. Super scary, super great. The soundtrack on vinyl has been announced from the Newton Brothers. It's going to be a green and blue swirl. Is all the songs from the film. And very, very exciting. As well. I'm excited for this, and you haven't watched it yet, right?
No.
It's great. So this comes out October 31st via Waxwork. It's going to be a double LP. Great.
That's Halloween.
That is Halloween. That's tomorrow.
Oh my God, that's spooky.
And also Waxwork has finally announced an out-of-print re-release of a soundtrack, the 50th anniversary vinyl of George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, also set to come out on October 31st. Completely remastered. I'm excited for that, for sure.
Some fucking Halloween vinyl, man. Watch out.
Yes. And then in another bit of interesting news, Iggy Pop and William Shatner sang Silent Night together.
I saw that.
So, William Shatner, Denny Crane, Captain Kirk, is going to release his first ever holiday album called Shatner Claus.
Shitner.
And it is out this week, and ahead of the album, Shatner and Iggy Pop recorded a song called Silent Night. We all know that song, and this is just fucking great. Other people on this album are Todd Rundgren, Henry Rollins. Badass.
Dude, Todd Rundgren rules. Well, you know, those guys are trying to outdo the Bing Crosby, David Bowie Christmas song.
Yeah.
You're right? That's what that is.
Are you excited for this?
It's a good, well, it's a comedy album, first off.
Well, I mean. Well of course. I mean, I have William Shatner albums here.
Yeah, dude. Well,
it's great.
What's the one where there's like a orange and purple font that's going on at the top. It's from the 60s. He's on the front of it, and he looks all serious. There's a photo and like a...
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's him like crooning.
Yes. He does that.
Yeah, it's good, man.
Like, no, the image of the album is great. It's like him, Shatner, in a Santa Claus hat and aviator sunglasses.
Yeah, well, I hope he's drunk, too.
I'm sure he is. Shatner's like... in his late 80s. Still being a badass.
Did you go see the new Halloween movie?
Yes.
My friend said it's the worst one.
It's not the worst one. It's in the middle.
Really?
Yes.
See, I thought they were going to blow it out of the water, and I guess...
No, they didn't, unfortunately. There is a lot
of... Is the music cool? Is there good music in that?
It is, because it's... they brought back John Carpenter to do the music.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, cool.
So it's great that way.
Sounds like a guy practicing synthesizer.
Yes.
Woo, woo, woo.
we'll get to that. We'll talk a little bit about Halloween, a little bit, why it's bad. But, yeah, are you going to get this album, William Shatner? Shatner Claus?
Well, I don't know, man. I don't like Christmas music.
But it's Shatner and Iggy Pop and Henry Rollins and Todd Rundgren.
Yeah, I mean, the Todd Rundgren one would be cool. I don't really... need to hear Henry Rollins tell me what to do. You know what I mean?
Talks
like,
a lot.
Yeah, he's one person that he's like, it seems like he never finds any middle ground with anyone. Like, if you disagree with that guy, he just gets angrier and louder.
True.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of like the modern day feminist.
Yeah. Is that him?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Looks like I'm not going to say it.
No, I remember when he was in town and he talked at the Lakewood Theater when it was open a few years ago, and he talked for, I think, like 6 hours.
Yeah,
I was at that show.
He just like accosts the crowd the whole time. Tells them, like, you guys are all pieces of shit.
Yeah.
You know, Nazi scum. And it's like, what are you talking about, man? Like, yeah. What are you?
You think he's kidding, and he's really not.
No, I'm not. It's weird. Like,
it is weird.
It's very strange.
So, yeah, there's that. Some fun news.
It's like he's verbally G.G. Allen in you.
But he's no G.G. Allen.
We he ain't shit. He's sure. not. He's verbally shitting on you.
Correct. some fun news. Weird Al Yankovic announces his 2019 tour. It's going to be his most full-blown, over-the-top extravaganza ever, and will feature a symphony orchestra at every stop.
Cool.
Very, very, very exciting about this. I'm in. I'm very much in. The Strings Attached, tour is what it's called. And yeah, it's going to,
any Dallas dates?
I'm trying to look. I'm not sure. Not sure yet. I'm trying to look for them. Weird Al Yankovic.
I hope it's not the same night as Kiss.
I hope not either, because we'll have to go to both shows.
Somehow. Oh, I know which one I would go to.
Let's see if he actually is coming here.
February 8th is Kiss, right?
Yes. Weird Al 2019 tour. Is he coming to Texas or a town near you?
I bet he plays a Majestic.
You think he'll play a Majestic?
That'd be awesome if he did.
Well, that's a great show for him. And if he's having a live symphony tour.
Yeah, it would depend on how big that orchestra is, I guess. You could. That stage, though, at the Majestic is pretty big.
It is. I've seen David Byrne there.
Especially with risers. You know, put risers on it.
Yeah. I agree, sir. So I am looking at this Weird Al thing, and it's taken a while because he posted to Instagram, but it doesn't look like he's announced any dates yet, unfortunately.
Get it together, Al.
Yep. They haven't announced any tours yet, but it's called Strings Attached, a rock and comedy symphonic experience, which, holy shit, yes. So, yeah, North American tour. So, hopefully, It will happen, and we will see it very, very soon.
Hey, has Weird Al started to spoof, like, the mumble rappers and all the idiots with, like, face tattoos and shit yet?
I hope he does.
Right? Like, Post Malone, well, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
That's low-hanging fruit, you know what I mean?
It is. Like, what? So, like, he does that song.
He probably couldn't do it, actually, if you think about it.
Well, he does that song Jackie Chan. What would be a really funnier version of that for Weird Al?
I bet if he did it, though, they'd say he's bullying them, right? Because
dicks.
I'm serious, right? They'd go, oh.
Why would he know? They would probably think it is a, hopefully, they're not jackasses.
They're totally jackasses. Look at them. Could you spot a jackass out of a crowd?
Post Malone, yes.
There you go, dude.
300 miles away.
No, that's what I'm saying. Those people are jackasses.
They are jackasses.
We should get Post Malone on the show. And I would ask him, tell me how it happened.
Yeah. Well,
what is
where on the doll went wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I would just say, explain you.
Because you've seen pictures of him in like the news, and it's like, why is he wearing this? Why does he have face tattoos?
No, it's
why
not.
Does the music sucks.
It's not even what he looks like. It's the music. Like, have you ever actually listened to it?
Well, yeah, because there's the Jackie Chan one and there's the other one. They sound the exact same, and there's nothing to it. It's like Bueller, the guy, the monotone Bueller with terrible fucking music. It's awful. It's not music.
Do you remember like when, like Lil Jon and the East Side Boys were around, and he would do the what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And it was like shtick rap.
And Chappelle made fun of that because like dude's getting paid millions of dollars for saying like two words.
Yeah. But yeah, then you factor that in, like the shtick thing, the auto tune, the bad music, I can't believe people listen to that. That's scary music right there.
No,
dude.
That's very scary music.
Like if people are looking for a soundtrack for their haunted house, just put on some goddamn Post Malone or some mumble rap garbage.
It's awful.
Yeah, dude.
It's terrible.
People will be frightened. Or they'd have a party in there. They all start fucking on each other.
I don't like it at all. We talked about John Carpenter a little bit, but John Carpenter also made a new theme for the horror streaming service Shudder. So he went back to his synthesizer, and it's going to start tomorrow on Halloween. He made the theme for Shudder that's going to be across its platform on everything. So, yeah, pretty, pretty cool. I'm excited about this. I just like John Carpenter, and he loves the synth, and he loves video games.
Dude, John Carpenter is cool, man. Like, the scope of movies that he kind of created is crazy.
Halloween, Big Trouble in Little China,
yeah,
The Thing.
Escape from New York.
Yeah, and he basically went... On our horror podcast on this network, My Bloody Podcast, we've talked a lot about John Carpenter. And the dude just, you wish he would come back and make something. And he hasn't. He said he would do it if he got paid and had creative control. But he's happy himself. He plays video games like 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, that's what a great, like, intelligent mind that guy must have. Like, to come up with those original, like, ideas for those movies.
Well, The Thing was a remake. Escape from New York, though. Halloween, They Live. I mean, all good shit. And
yeah.
Like he had a vision, and he stuck with it, and it's excellent still to this day.
Think about Big Trouble in Little China, right?
Right.
Like, just if you wrote down a description of what happens in that movie.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it makes zero sense.
Nobody liked it when it came out.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, okay, I'm mixing like the kung fu and a western with monsters and horror with a crazy protagonist that does nothing in the movie but hurt his own self.
It's kind of like like Army of Darkness a little bit, right?
Right.
Like it's a movie that he kind of comes up with only movies that shouldn't work, but they're incredible.
Correct.
Like if anybody else did them, they'd be dog shit.
Right.
Like
I agree.
He's great, man.
He is great. So yeah, check out his new theme on Shudder.
Didn't he also do Assault on
Precinct 13? That was his first movie.
Yeah, because I think that was his first movie.
Yes.
Okay. Assault, yeah, because if you listen to the soundtrack in that, that's the one where I always say it does sound like him practicing synthesizer because it's just like one key at a time.
Right.
Because it's that doom doo 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 doo.
Yeah. Well, the same thing, you know, even for Halloween, that.
Yeah.
And then in They Live with Roddy Piper, it's just.
He's just moving the
and that's like literally it.
But he but it's like he can that when you hear that music though, you can visually picture the scene.
Correct. You
You're like, oh, I see. I know exactly what part that is.
And even with Big Trouble in Little China, that wow.
That's one of the best movies to get baked to. Like, I'm telling you, like, it's a sleeper. No one ever talks about it. They're like, oh, man, Cheech and Chong's so fucking good to get high to, or like Mallrats.
No.
And to me, I'm like, dude, fucking Big Trouble in Little China is one of the best movies. And
it's crazy.
Rumble in the Bronx is another good
one. That's another great one. Oh, sit tight, hold the forts, keep the home fires burning, and if I'm not back by dawn, call the president.
Dude.
It's so good. Big Trouble in Little China. And all of his movies are excellent on their own, but his own score, because John Carpenter, the director, the writer, the producer, he also composes his own music.
Yeah, he does. Films, yeah, he does the great. Music. Yeah.
So I just like that he has like his little keyboard, and he's like, yeah, easy shit, but like iconic.
Yeah, well, kind of instantly. I think he's just ahead of the curve. Some people didn't know what to think of it.
No, it was
like
damn
it took
good.
Like a later generation to like reboot it, or not reboot it, but like really get the appreciation for it. So. I think he was talking to like a lot of those movies registered with like teenagers and stuff.
Yeah,
you know. So then when they got older, that fan base just, you know,
correct
did that thing.
I agree. So yeah, the John Carpenter, the new Halloween film is out now. They did bring John Carpenter back as an executive producer.
Does Jamie Lee get naked in it?
Does who?
Jamie Lee.
No, she does not.
Damn it. she looks good, man.
She does. She's actually kind of like Sarah Connor Terminator 2 style in this movie. It's not a great film, but it's not bad either. There's a lot of really good moments, but there's also some really bad moments to the movie.
Wait. Is it better than the Predator movie you and I just went and saw recently?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So, like, I actually recently talked to our good friends, Preston, who does the horror podcast, and Cole, who does the horror podcast. And we talked, like, they asked me, how would you rank the Halloween? I was like, I would put this new one in the middle because I think Halloween 1, 2, 3, and 4 are better. And then after the fourth one, I would put this new one. You know, because I think Halloween 8 with Busta Rhymes is fucking dog shit. I think both of the Rob Zombie ones are dog shit, and I think H2O is dog shit.
What's the best one?
One, part one, the original one.
Really?
Followed by two, and then Season of the Witch, and then the fourth one where they brought the little girl in.
Season of the Witch is the third one, right?
Correct.
But he's not even in that
He's one. Not, but I like what they did. That's like probably the most diabolical one because it's about a corporation trying to kill a ton of kids.
I need to watch that. I actually do remember, I think the third one was... I think I remember that one being really fucking good.
It's really good.
He's not in it at all, right?
No. In the Halloween series, they did Halloween 1, Halloween 2 with Mike Myers. And then Halloween 3, the producers and directors like, hey, in the studio, was like, let's do Halloween 3, but every movie from now on, we're going to make it like a different horror story. So everybody was super pissed off Mike Myers wasn't back, so they brought him back in the fourth one.
Yeah.
But the third one is about...
Is it as his mom?
Yeah, no, well, it's the fourth one is about the little girl, and like she kind of inherits kind of his powers more or less.
Okay.
It's really good. So she's in the fifth one too, but it's not that great. And the sixth one I like a lot because that stars Paul Rudd, and it goes back into like why he's evil. But the third one is basically about a corporation called Silver Shamrock, and they are making these Halloween masks for kids, and when the kids put them on, like they die. Oh. Gruesome, horrible deaths.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And you remember the song to it. It was, have a happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
Yeah.
Have a happy Halloween.
I got to go back and I have to watch that one.
So, yeah, it's good shit. But, yeah, the new Halloween, it's good, but there's also a lot of bad moments. It does not reinvigorate the franchise, although they're probably going to make another sequel or two because it's made so much money so far. But yes, I'm sure you'll see it at some point, right, Jacob?
Yeah, I'll see it.
Okay.
When it's on Betamax.
Okay, so before we get to our one-hit wonder, since it's Halloween and stuff like that, besides maybe John Carpenter, since we've talked about John Carpenter quite a bit, what are some of the best horror movie soundtracks that you remember?
Ooh, fuck. I think I remember, like, one of the Howlings being really good.
Yeah, Halloween's damn good.
Then there was, like, let me think. You put me on the spot here.
Did I put you on the spot?
Kind of. I wasn't. I have to. I'm having to access my archival footage now.
Well, I'll tell you one of mine. One of my all-time favorite soundtracks of the horror variety is Return of the Living Dead.
Is that
1985?
Yeah, that's the fucking... That is a good one.
It's got The Cramps on it, 45 Grave, which has the song...
The Lost Boys soundtrack is good.
Lost Boys is so good. In our first episode of The Unbalanced Note, we talked about the shirtless sax guy having his own album now.
Don't call it a comeback.
But it also had Sisters of Mercy on there.
Yeah, Sisters of Mercy.
Cry Little Sister.
Who are in this... One of the members from Sisters of Mercy is in Ghost now.
Correct.
So, what? Oh my God, what a spooky coincidence.
It is good. Also on that Return of the Living Dead, you have Rocky Erickson and the Damn, the Flesh Eaters. Damn good one. So good. Well, you think Nightmare on Elm Street has a lot of really good shit?
Yeah, but I'm trying to like narrow down like the definitive one.
The definitive one?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because just saying like Nightmare on Elm Street, you're like, oh, okay. Well, there's like 10 of them.
Well, yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of, you know how like Dazed and Confused has that just, and Forrest Gump? Like,
correct, yes.
A lot of the horror movie soundtracks I always think of are like original, like Ennio Morricone type music.
Right, right.
You know, like Alien, like the fucking music in Alien is incredible. That music makes up fucking that movie. But it's more of like a score, you know what
right.
I mean? Like, I can't really think of a...
Well,
a sound, you know what I mean?
Soundtrack.
Like Monster Squad's got a killer soundtrack.
It does. It's got Richie Sambello and...
And it's got cool, you know, music. I think a lot of that music was probably even written just for that music,
for that movie. Yeah. It was. Another one of my favorite ones is definitely Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2. Like the 80s version.
Is that with Matt...
No,
he wears.
That's like the next generation of Dennis Hopper. No, this is kind of. Like,
oh, this is the they joined the state fair and won the chili cook-off.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a crazy one because it also has the Cramps on here, the Lords of the New Church, Stuart Copeland, Tim Buck, Three Concrete Blonde, Oingo Boingo.
What does the internet say if you typed in like best horror soundtracks?
Best horror soundtracks.
It's going to say Twilight.
The Exorcist, which is like Tubular Bells. Cannibal Holocaust, Suspiria, all like the Goblin
shit.
Oh,
yeah, Suspiria is
Tangerine
fucking...
Dream and Goblin do a lot of really good stuff. Nightmare on Elm Street. Rosemary's Baby.
See, but those are like scores, though.
So you're just talking about like
soundtracks. Yeah.
I'm telling you, like, I have a great collection of horror soundtracks, and like the ones that are like full soundtracks are Return of the Living Dead, Lost Boys, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre too.
Yeah.
So other than that, they're mostly scores.
Yeah.
But you have
like John Williams.
Yes, Alice Cooper did like that Friday the 13th one.
No, that was Dawkin.
Oh no, Dawkin did Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, that's right.
Alice Cooper did like the Jason one, the Friday the 13th one.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because he isn't it like he's coming to get you in the night.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
It's total fucking, yeah.
Alice Cooper, Friday the 13th.
Lot of
he's
cheese.
Back. The Man Behind the Mask.
Yeah,
is what
he's
it's
back.
Called.
That's it.
Yes. Yeah, so that's great. And it's on there if you can find the soundtrack.
But you know what I'm saying? With horror movies, though, it's like most of the good ones, they're scores. It's like original
correct.
Music. It's hard to find a soundtrack. It seems like we're missing a really good one, though.
I love Critters soundtrack because it has the Critters rap and Terrence Mann's Power of the Night.
Power.
So calling. It's a great one.
What about Ghostbusters, dude?
I guess you can consider that. I mean, yeah, Ray Park and all that good stuff. That's good stuff.
Ray
and
Parker.
Even the Ghostbusters too. Bobby Brown's on our
own. Dude, Shauna fucking loves Bobby Brown, dude. I'm like, man.
He was pretty much solely responsible for the death of Whitney Houston.
New edition, man. I don't know about that, dude. I think that's a little much. Bobby Brown is someone I would actually like to interview.
That would be great.
Because he, man, that
every
dude,
little step I take, my prerogative, that's good shit.
He's a rocker, man. Like, I'm telling you,
Bobby
like,
Brown.
If I could jam with Bobby Brown, dude, it'd be like Ike Turner, like in the 70s, like Ike and Tina, right? Dude, that shit was rock and roll, man. 60s
it's
Ike and Tina.
It's good.
Playing with the Stones and stuff, dude. Those guys knew how to fucking boogie, man.
I like it. I like it a lot. We're trying to figure out these horror soundtracks. And again, like Jacob said, it's mostly scores. It's very rare to find something with a bunch of songs on it.
That flow good in it. Well, I guess in horror movies, though, it's more focused on like the
atmosphere.
What's the action going on, too? You know, like music would almost kind of like in a horror movie would almost kind of get in the way of it. Unless it's like a death scene and, you know, someone's getting chopped up and there's like Slayer going on.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm really trying to figure out the best ones, but I think
we're stupid, dude.
We're not stupid. We're awesome. But yes, I think it's good. Are you searching it?
I'm trying to find something. I mean,
yeah,
it seems like there should be like a fucking, a definitive, like an answer, you know, like this is the best one.
Well, like I said, most of them are not that way. It's unfortunate.
I said that.
Well, you said that or we said that? I said that.
I said.
Wait a second.
You asked me the best horror soundtrack and I froze because the first thing, all the things that came into my brain, I was like, well, that's a score. That's a score. That's a score.
It's good. But yeah, again, most of them are, you know, like you can even say Jaws has one of the greatest theme songs of all time. That
John Williams wins all the awards. Like, I don't even know why anyone would go against him.
Because
composer of the year, right?
Yeah.
By default, they ought to just call it the John Williams Award.
But he doesn't really make a whole lot of shit. This
doesn't need to.
When Star Wars is out, he should win because it's always really good. I think
Star Wars.
Yeah. See, like Child's Play soundtrack is great. It has like when the composer sings, but there's no songs in the film by anybody.
See, that's
not until like maybe the fourth movie or fifth movie.
Yeah, there's no Rock Until You Drop.
Monster Squad. Rock Until You Drop.
Is Teen Wolf considered a horror movie?
No, that's a comedy.
I don't know, man. It's kind of scary.
No, it's not.
Yeah, all the stuff.
Would it scare you?
Frightened me. Right? Remember when Homer said, oh, I watched the scariest movie, Young Frankenstein. Scared the hell out of me.
The Shinnin. It's good stuff. But yeah, know, okay. Man. We'll move on from that.
What's the scariest movie ever?
The scariest movie ever?
The scariest.
It's up to the person, but I would say it's a collection of like five. I would say The Shining, The Exorcist, Psycho, The Descent, and Halloween maybe.
Man, I think it's either between The Shining or like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is not scary.
Though. Yeah, but
I mean, if that happened to you, yes.
Every time I watch that movie, though, I try to pretend that I'm in, like, 1971.
Yeah, you have nothing around you. You have no pagers, no cell phones.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And that's a movie, that's one of the first movies when I got into, like, you know, before I started watching, like, Cannibal Holocaust and, you know, like, Ken Park and, like, genuinely fucked up movies.
Yes.
You're watching those movies and you're like, man, the scenarios that these people are in, they're not, it seems like they really aren't acting. You know what I mean? Like Gummo.
Right.
Like you watch Gummo and that just seems like someone holding the camera at, you know.
And that's basically what they did on Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's why it gives that feel.
It seems real.
In your face documentary, guerrilla filmmaking, which made it real.
Yeah. So every time I watch that movie, I try to think of like, because I remember the first time I watched it, my dad was like, you're gonna freak out. Because I was like 12 or something. I just kept pestering him about it. Pestering him. He just went, okay, you're going to regret it. And I went, no, I'm ready. You know, you're like 12. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be scared. And I watched it, and man, it frightened me. Because I was like, dude, I don't think this is a movie.
And there's barely any blood in it. And plus, even like at the very beginning, the guy talks about like the narration by John Larroquette.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it makes meow. It seem. Yeah. Well, and that's a great sound, too.
Yeah, it's a killer sound. But that I just think of what people thought when they went to the movie theater.
They thought it was real.
To see it. Yeah. But they didn't want to go outside. Same with like Friday the 13th. Like the first one. Yes. Or maybe not the first one. Like the second one where he starts, you know, chopping up people and stuff. Yeah,
because the first one, Jason's not.
Yeah, it's fucking, well, technically.
And I thought of another horror soundtrack with songs. House of 1000 Corpses. Rob Zombie stuff.
Oh, man. That is a really good one because that has Terry Reid in it.
Yes.
Yeah, that it. Well done, my friend.
Well played. I just thought of that.
There's there's a good like disco boogie song and like jungle.
Well, they redo Brick House.
That's
him and Quincy Jones.
Brick House, yeah.
It's mighty mighty.
Yeah,
just dude, that it all hang out.
Fuck, man, I hate Rob Zombie though.
Why do you hate White Zombie?
I love
Dracula. I love Living Dead Girl.
I love White Zombie.
I like White Zombie too, but I also like his songs in this film, House of Thousand Corpses and Pussy Liquor and shit like that.
Well, that's him trying to be creative. But again, it's such a ripoff of fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Well, Rob Zombie has always been a fan of horror, so he kind of like in House of Thousand Corpses put like 10 of his favorite films in that movie to make his own movie.
Right.
And then he found his voice with Devil's Rejects, which is very Natural Born Killers-esque with a kind of maybe a horror element and comedy element too.
Oh yeah, they're very fun. I don't know, man. Chickens? He's so fucking, I don't know, man.
But you like the soundtrack though.
Oh yeah, it's killer soundtrack.
I wish it was on vinyl. It's only on CD right now. But maybe we'll get
some. Probably some copyright.
Copyright infringement? Yeah. All right. Enough horror. Let's move into our one-hit wonder, which is...
That is horror. That's, you're continuing in...
Oh, yeah. We're getting into horror. One-hit wonders, which is from 1962 by Bobby Boris Pickett. It is called The Monster Mash. It was a graveyard smash from 1962. The Monster Mash was number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Ooh, it made it to one. Cool.
It was number one. It came out in May of 1962, or was recorded in May. It was released on August 25th, 1962. And it's called Monster Mash. Bobby Pickett. Interestingly enough, Pickett, the singer, was an aspiring actor with a band called The Cordials, and he played with the band at night while he was going to auditions during the day. And one night, while performing with his band, Pickett did a monologue in imitation of horror movie actor Boris Karloff while performing The Diamond's Little Darling. The audience loved it. And from then on, he did the Monster Mash, because if you hear the Monster Mash, it has kind of like a 1960s kiddie groovy tune, and then it's just him kind of like, it was a graveyard smash. And then, we did the mash!
It sounds like something that would be on like Frank Zappa's Freak Out.
Yes.
Because it starts with even that, you told me that you loved me, dun dun. You know, it's that kind of waltzy intro thing. Dude, that's a fucking cool song, man. You can hear the times in that one, though.
Like, correct.
Imagine if Monster Mash would have been in, like, fucking Halloween.
We did the mash!
Yeah. Like, Monster Mash would be like a, you know, you could put that into, like, Abbott and Costello.
Yes. Interestingly enough, the Monster Mash was supposed to be a dance, and it was a lot like the mashed potato, but the footwork was the same, but Frankenstein monster gestures were made for the arms and hands.
You did. Yeah. I'm doing it right now in case you can't see.
Jacob, that's what it was, dude.
I remember it, man.
Jacob almost kind of looks like when like Kermit the Frog is dancing with his arms.
Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog here. And interestingly enough, the producers on the album made extensive use of Foley art for the recording. The sound of a coffin opening was imitated by a rusty nail being pulled out of a board. And then the sound of the cauldron bubbling was actually water being bubbled through a straw.
Ooh, not spooky at all.
And the chains rattling were simply chains being dropped on the tile floor.
Oh yeah, they weren't doing any Manson stuff on that track.
So, what do you think this song's about? Because it definitely talks about...
I think
about
it's about fucking.
It's about fucking.
Like, hey, baby, you want to come over and do the Monster Mash?
I was glad you reverted to Beavis and Butthead during this.
Did Beavis
and Butthead ever do a thing to this video?
I would hope, because I could just see them gyrating, right?
yeah, we're gonna score. So the song is narrated by a mad scientist whose monster late one evening rises from his slab to perform a new dance. Basically...
A nude dance.
Yeah, a nude dance. So like in the thing, the Wolfman, Igor, depending on how you want to pronounce it, Count Dracula and his son are all in there. It's good stuff.
Do you remember that claymation movie called Mad Monster Party?
Yes, I do.
I think that song's in that movie.
It might be.
He did the monster mash.
The song was re-released several times and appeared in the U.S. Billboard charts, one in 1970 and again in 1973. The BBC had banned the record from airplay in 1962 on the grounds that the song was too morbid.
Wow, that's crazy. That's interesting.
Isn't that weird?
Well, not really, because the Beatles hadn't happened yet.
I guess not. And it was re-released in the U.K. in 1973 when it peaked at number three.
I'm surprised it didn't make a climb back into the charts in the 80s when My Pet Monster came out.
So yeah, I remember that. I'm just trying to remember if that was part of it. I don't
it's
remember.
It's in that movie because I remember that fucking movie. I had that fucking doll, or it wasn't a doll. It was like a fucking huge, like stuffed animal type thing.
Yeah.
And it had these, and it came with handcuffs, which like you couldn't have that now. Put out a toy with handcuffs.
Yeah. I wish you could.
They were like orange.
No, I
like,
remember the orange plastic handcuffs. Yeah, they were plastic. You could actually wear them yourself.
Yeah, you could wear them. Dude, that movie, I'm telling you, it was like.
Pet monster.
Yeah, it was short.
It was like Teddy Ruxpin, but monster stuff.
Yeah. But
Teddy Ruxpin was scarier.
I don't know, man. That fucking pedophile bear.
Yes.
He's watching you while you're sleeping and you look
weird
at it and
shit.
He's just smiling at you.
Yeah.
Well, at least, yeah, my pet monster, that guy just looked like he was drunk.
Yeah.
He was like, you know what he kind of looked like? Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes.
Right?
Completely.
He was
also in Bloodsport.
Yeah, he had that. Because he had that lazy eye, like that,
yes.
That Tom York eye.
Yeah.
Who Tom York just read. He did a soundtrack to Suspiria.
Correct.
But yeah, fucking. Yeah, that's what he looks like, is fucking booger or ogre.
Ogre. That's funny.
Ogre, you asshole.
In addition to the Monster Mash, to celebrate its 1973 release, Bobby and the Crypt Kickers toured Dallas and St. Louis around the Halloween holiday that year.
Well, wait,
and
they were called Bobby and the Crypt Kickers?
Yeah,
what
it was composed
great band
of Brian name. Ray, who plays with Paul McCartney, and they did Monster Mash then, and it got it to on the charts again.
Cool.
Interestingly enough. Let's see here. The tune was renowned. Let's see. Yeah, I guess.
They did the mash.
It was a monster mash.
Yeah, dude, that song kicks ass. We didn't listen to it before we started. Damn it.
It was, yeah, you know. The Beach Boys played this song live as an early staple of their live performances in 1964.
They probably said they wrote it.
Do you think so?
wouldn't be surprised.
And then in 1977, Vincent Price issued his own version of the song. Yeah, it's just, and then the Misfits did their own version of the song in 1997.
I'm glad there's not like a...
And that, I guess that's like one of their biggest versions of the song, right? I guess.
Dude, I'd take the original.
You take the original?
Yeah, dude.
It is good.
It has that peppy, like, it's so hokey and goofy, it's fun.
Yeah.
They did the mash.
We did a monster mash.
Yeah, dude, it's like it's Dracula singing to you.
Is it Dracula? What kind of name is that?
Dracula.
It's on Garpacked Records if you can find it. It's fairly easily found in the stacks of singles, so head there to check it out. But I think that's a good one-hit wonder.
It made it to number one.
It did make it to number one.
The guy made $1 million.
The guy made $1 million. So yeah, there you go. But let's move on to the main event of our Halloween episode of The Unbalanced Note. This is episode number 12, and this is Halloween, and we picked a great band for our Halloween episode. Jacob, who is it?
Hanson.
Goddamn scary ass shit.
Spooky.
Bop style.
Those chicks are frightening.
Those
right?
chicks are scary, man.
Yeah, all that perfect hair, all that perfect blonde hair. It's scary.
Lady boys.
No, man, we're talking about Ghost.
Ghost. The Swedish band, Ghost. They came from Linköping, Sweden.
Sweden.
And they were heavily influenced by...
They're a Blue Oyster Cult cover band.
Yeah, Blue Oyster Cult and Iron Maiden, basically.
No, you know who else they sound like? A band I just turned you on to.
Shit.
Wishbone Ash.
Wishbone Ash, which I had no idea existed.
We'll have to talk about them on another episode. That's the most underrated band ever.
But yeah, so this band, if you don't know who they are, they're not satanic band. Maybe they were, but now they're not.
Well, they have that image, you know, the imagery and the storyline still is very
yeah.
much, you know, based in the, they're just troll the Catholic Church.
Correct. They do.
Which being from, you know, Sweden, I'm sure that's a part of the world where, you know, religion was probably forced onto a lot of people over there. So there's probably a lot of people with a bad taste.
Yeah, and they have this super fun onstage presence live. Like, it's very dark, hellish cathedral, and all of the band are nameless ghouls. Like, they're in masks and, like,
yeah, they used to wear, you know, they started and they wore cloaks.
Correct.
And then they've kind of progressed, which is neat because, you know, it's kind of like Kiss. Like, mm-hmm. it's a show.
Right.
But they're not going to actually be sacrificing goats and pigs on stage in the name of, you know, the Dark Lord.
No. It's all about the music here.
I think it's equal parts like the show and equal. Show. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's kind of like,
man,
our first episode about Kiss, where they're really about the music, but they also have like a big stage presence.
Yeah, if they would have went out there in jeans and a t-shirt,
yeah,
not going to work.
Correct.
You know, they. Same with these guys. Same with Ghost. It was like if they just went out there and looked like the guys in Smash Mouth. You know,
fuck,
like
me,
you would go, what is this? Like, this doesn't work. But when they come out as like a zombified pope and, you know, four or five dudes and
demons,
fucking
and ghouls and shit
that don't say anything,
yeah,
and they just play this really kind of like Boston like arena rock and roll fucking stuff with a cool concept and really great lyrics, man. These guys are really fucking good.
They are good. So they have not been around a long time, only like 12 years. They formed in 2006, and the leader of the band, the head singer, is Tobias Forge, and he wrote the song Stand By Him, which probably one of the coolest heavy metal riffs, probably, right?
That first whole album has got
What's
really...
it called? What's the...
Opus Eponymous?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a... Man, it's like Merciful Fate and, like, you know, definitely a big Blue Oyster Cult influence on there. But that's the record that sounds like, you know, like 1974. Like, it's very kind of proto-metal
yes,
sounding.
Right.
But every fucking riff on there is like, wow, that's instantly kind of iconic.
Right.
Where, you know, their newer stuff now kind of is a little more, like, radio-friendly. This first record, it's all Satan. You
yes,
know, they're
it
running
is.
With the Satan gimmick.
They are, because it's kind of like, you know, it's Deus culpa, conclave con Dio, ritual, Elizabeth, stand by him, Satan prayer, death knell, prime mover in Genesis. And then what kind of got a lot of people to know about them is that on this album, they did a cover of the Beatles' Here Comes the Sun, which is fucking great. If you hear like...
Yeah,
like a satanic band play it. It's like super...
When they even changed the name of it, though, because it's not S-U-N, it's S-O-N, because they're saying yeah. it's the Son of Satan.
Correct, yes.
But yeah, someone actually dubbed a really cool video of the Kenneth Anger Lucifer Rising
yeah.
movie with the audio from the, you know, Ghost mm-hmm. cover, and it's really fucking good, but...
So who comprises this band?
Well, like, it was like, so there's the main dude, Tobias.
Correct.
The singer. He wrote, I think on this first record, dude, I think he played all the instruments.
Yeah. Did he?
I think so. I'm pretty certain he did. If not, it was like 80% of it.
I'll look that up.
And then they did the second one, but he had kind of the same core group of guys with him for the first, like, they did two albums and like two EPs. And then when that Meliora album came out,
yeah.
that's when they started to have some issues in there. There's been a lot of people in the band. Like, they've had, I think, Dave Grohl's played with them numerous times. He produced this. He produced this album.
Okay, Dave Grohl did produce that.
Yeah,
holy
and
shit.
He plays
yes.
drums on it. And they, you know, this, they cover, like, ABBA and,
yeah,
you know, fucking, like, Rocky Erickson. They cover
yes,
Rocky Erickson
yes.
on there. But they, man, I don't know, dude. There's probably been a dozen people in that band at this point, I bet. But it's mainly that Tobias Forge guy.
Is it so? He's like the leader in charge.
Yeah, he's the singer. Yeah, and he used to play in this fucking like really cool like grindcore band.
Yeah,
called Repugnant.
Repugnant.
Yeah, and that's you listen to that, and then you go, he's like a really kind of capable guitar player.
Yeah,
so he can, it carries over to songwriting, so he writes a majority of the music. Granted, you know, some of the other guys that were in the band, like me and Shauna, both really, and there was a guy that played with Ghost for a long time named Martin Persner.
Yeah,
and he played in Ghost, you know, they have the Cardinal now, he was Papa.
Correct.
And then the other the ghouls are like Air, Ether, water, fire, yeah, whatever the fuck.
The fifth element.
Yeah, they're the elements. So this guy was, Alpha and Omega.
Yes.
They had Alpha and Omega. And the guy that me and Shauna both really liked is this character that was Omega, and his name's Martin. And he had this really fun, like, stage presence about him. He was like he was more fun to watch than the main guy in Ghost.
Okay.
And then he quit. A lot of these guys that were in the band sued Tobias, and they were in court for like a long time, but they got dismissed. Yeah. They were saying that they should have gotten equal pay for things. And then Tobias is saying, well, I wrote all the music. You guys were like hired guns. That was the agreement. You got paid a flat rate. And then I write all the music and do the imagery and stuff for the band. So I'm like, he's like creative control.
Right.
Right. Like it's kind of his baby. You know what I mean?
Right.
Those guys fucked up doing that by suing him. They should have wrote it out. Should have went, man, I wish I was getting paid more right now. I think you owe me more, but I'll just stick it out and keep playing. Cause these guys are going to be huge. Man.
Yeah.
Like they're already big. And then if you get to go out there, no one knows who you are and you don't have to write any of the music and all the music is good. Why the fuck wouldn't you do that?
I agree.
You get to be anonymous if you choose to be.
Yep.
But when that lawsuit came to be, all the anonymity went away because all their names came out.
Which sucks.
Totally sucks. Like we would have found out at some point, and granted, you could have went on the internet and found out.
Correct.
But now that it's one of those things where it's like, the cat's not out of the bag, but the cat's out of the bag if you go looking for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? That mystique is gone.
Because some asshole wanted to
see. Well, no, the guys in the band. Like, yeah. They didn't get... Four of them decided that one of them was fucking them.
Yeah. Well...
Because the whole band quit. He fired them.
That's right. He did.
And then the other guy quit. Martin, the guy...
Yeah.
The guitar player. He quit, and then all the other guys got fired, and then they sued Tobias. He came into the store. I think I told you that.
You did tell me that.
Yeah, and he bought a shit ton of Goblin records.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, like $150 worth of them. He was super nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So his new band now, I mean, has to be good.
Oh, they're real fucking good, dude. We went and saw them. They were here last Wednesday?
Yeah.
Last Thursday.
So you saw them. Where were they at?
In Grand Prairie at Verizon.
Okay.
And it was like the 97.1, the Eagle... Freakers Ball.
Okay.
So they
How
were
long do they play?
Like an hour and 15 minutes.
That's longer than I thought they would play.
Yeah, well, their normal show, they played the next night in Oklahoma, and they played for like 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Because they do two sets.
Right.
They do an intermission, like they play one big set, then they take an intermission, then they do another big set. It's like a 2.5 hour concert.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they don't have an opener.
I mean, before you saw them this past week, you and I saw them open up for Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
And they were great.
They played five songs, though.
Yeah. A little more than that.
I think they did five, maybe six.
Okay.
We'll say they did six. They're kick ass, man.
Yeah.
I've seen them a bunch, and this was the best I've ever seen them.
But the new band.
Yeah. And they have, I know who the people in the band are now, but they're really tight, man. And there's eight people in the band now, too. They have two girls that do keyboards and backup vocals, and they have three guitar players.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So their second album is Infestissimum.
Infestissimum.
Infestissimum. That's one I don't have.
Yeah.
So
that's actually my favorite one.
That's your favorite one. Why is that your favorite one?
It's got really cool songs on it. The way it starts is awesome. It has this weird kind of like, man, I don't know. The flow of the record is really, really good to me. And there's a song on there called, Goulet Zombie Queen.
Yeah.
Dude, that it's like some fucking weird, it's like a Beach Boys song.
They're still in the Satanists here because they have Secular Haze, Gigolo, Harmigido, The Zombie Queen, Depth of Satan's Eyes, Monstrance Clock.
Yeah, Monstrance Clock is what they always end with.
Yeah.
And that song's, I think I really like Infestissimum too because the whole album is just about fucking.
Yeah.
And then
Dave Grohl produced that one or did drums and production on the I'm the Marionette one.
Yeah, that's on the EP. That came after it.
Yeah.
But the art in Infestissimum, there's a book that comes with it. And they had a hard time having it pressed because a lot of people were like, this is blasphemous. We're not printing this. it took him a long time to find art people that would package it for him. They were refusing to do it. And right around this time, too, they made a dildo and butt plug set.
Like Marilyn Manson and...
Yeah, Behead of the Curve.
Yeah.
They did that 10 years before it.
Correct. No, this album came out in 2013, so they are very ahead of the curve. And it's interesting to note that this album, the second album, was number one on the U.S. Billboard Hard Rock Albums chart, number 10 on the U.S. Billboard Top Rock Albums, and then number 28 on the U.S. Billboard.
See, that's impressive for a band on their second album that plays rock music.
Well, that plays kind of this music from Sweden, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of gimmicky satanic.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
Like, you've instantly kind of alienated a lot of people. But, and then, I love them, man. Like, and then Meliora is the shit.
Meliora is probably their most successful to date album as far as sales
yeah.
and praise goes. But that was in 2015, a couple years after this, and damn good. I mean, it's still kind of like devilish type stuff, right?
But that's, man, that's got a song on there called He Is.
Yeah.
That song is absolutely fucking phenomenal. Like, that's when you kind of, that's the album, Meliora is the one where I went, man, this guy can really, really write a fucking great song. When they first came out, I didn't really much care for him.
Really?
Yeah, I thought they were like I kind of thought they were like posers.
Yeah.
I was like, man, these guys aren't satanic. And then Infestissimum came out, and that's the album that grabbed me. Then I went back and listened to the first one, and I went, well, I was stupid for thinking that. But Meliora is the album where they definitely hit their fucking, or he hit his stride as a songwriter. For
yeah.
sure. I mean, because that album is fucking, from front to back, lyrically,
yeah,
is really, really fucking good.
In a Rolling Stone magazine reader's poll, it was number 4 in the top 10 best songs of 2015, that song He Is.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And then Brittany Spanos of Rolling Stone wrote that the song is a psychedelic note going back to metal's folkier roots from the 60s and 70s.
It's got some great guitar playing in it, and it's just, I don't know, it's if you wrote a song that you knew, if you wanted to be in a successful band and you went, I need to write a song like that would be epic on the radio.
Yeah.
That you couldn't do any better than that.
No, that's good shit. I mean, that's their third album, and it's one of their best ones. And on the charts, it was number 2 on the top rock albums, number 2 on the top hard rock albums, and number 8 on the Billboard 200.
Yeah, I remember it made it into the top 10, and it was like people on the metal blogs and stuff
were like, holy shit.
Yeah, but that's when people started to go, fuck these guys, they're sellouts, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, they're just a successful band.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about selling out?
It doesn't seem like they're selling out at all.
No.
They're still doing their shtick
the
way they want to.
Yeah, I mean, they do get a little poppier, like, on the new album. There's a couple of songs on here.
But that song, Rats, is fucking amazing.
It's written for the radio.
Yeah.
You know, it's Michael Jackson.
Yes. You know, it's great.
But what's weird on this album,
Before that one, so this one is called Prequel.
Prequel, yeah.
Prequel. And this is kind of like a medieval times.
There's a plague.
Yeah, the Black Plague,
yeah,
for sure. For
is
sure.
The concept on this one.
But
yeah, then you had the Pope Star, though, the EP before that, you had this one.
Yeah, yes.
And this, they do, you know, Echo and the Bunnymen and the Eurythmics.
Yeah, which is super cool.
But yeah, the new album is fucking ripping, dude.
No, like, it's
Dance
it's
Macabre.
Awesome.
That song is the shit. I wanna be with you in the moonlight. Have you seen the new video for that?
I have not.
Dude, it's cool, man. You gotta watch that.
Everybody's giving the new album, which came out earlier this year in June. Everybody is loving it. Like, either 9 out of 10s or 10 out of 10s from pretty much anywhere.
It's fun, man. Like, it's a... They're kind of exactly what the quote-unquote rock community needs is a band that they sound totally different than anything else on the radio.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't listen to you know, hard rock radio in Dallas, just because I don't want to listen to fucking Korn and,
yeah,
you know, Rage Against the Machine for the 9,000th time.
Correct.
Like, so when you hear Ghost come on, like, I've heard Ghost on the radio, like when Rats kicks in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like you're instantly like,
oh, fuck yes.
Your hands on the volume.
Yep.
And you just sped up 10 miles an hour.
Correct.
You're like, oh, okay, now we're going.
And then when you hear, like, it's like,
Rats.
Rats. And then, oh, wow.
I have a great video of that I took of Shauna bowling. And she, it looks so good. Like, she's walking up to the lane, then she lets the ball go, and it goes right into the gutter, and she turns around and does her hands like this. And I want to, like, sync the video to where when the ball goes into the gutter and she turns around, it goes, Rats. And have, like, some rats go across the screen.
That would be great.
I'm not good at Photoshop, dude. I only have an iPhone 4S, so I can't. I'm limited on my...
Oh, 4, Steve, you need to get a new one. Metal Injection's Cody Davis said that Dance Macabre off this album is the album's best track.
I agree. Well, that's the best song with vocals. There's an instrumental on there, you know, where the Papa plays sax.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my gourd. It's the dog.
hey, get out of there. Get him over here.
Man. Somebody came.
Did you have to pause it?
No, I didn't pause it.
Oh, hell yeah, it was dude. Short.
Yeah, we got Dog in there because Bug likes Ghost too, so dude, she thought she saw Papa saw a in ghost. There. She has her dreidel right now.
dreidel.
Oh, what if Ghost did a dreidel song?
They won't.
they won't.
Well, I mean, it's like saying that they would do a Christmas album.
Yeah.
Like, kind of not going to happen. Although, they probably would, though.
And,
like, Bad Religion. You know that band Bad Religion?
Yes.
They made a Christmas album. How could you have a band name called Bad Religion?
And not sing about religion.
Well, why would you, though? It'd be like, yeah, we're called the Vegan Hipsters, and we only eat ribs.
Always fuck with their minds.
Yeah, it's like... Idiot.
So this most recent album, Prequel, was number 3 on the U.S. Billboard 200, which is holy shit crazy.
Yeah, you probably got and beat awesome. By fucking Post Malone and a Kardashian.
Horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. So yeah, what's next with them?
Well, so you know the concept of the band, right? Like how each Papa transitions?
Yes.
So like on the first album, he's the oldest.
Yes.
He's the oldest son.
Correct.
So he's kind of like Benjamin Button.
He gets younger and younger.
Right.
And, younger.
And so now they've, you know, they're like, well, this Papa isn't doing a good enough job. We only want, and they've won Grammys.
Yeah.
They've won, I think, 2 Grammys.
They have, let's see, Bennett Award. I'm looking at all.
But here. They make
Grammy Awards. They won in 2014 and 2015 and 2016 for Best Hard Rock Metal Album. So 3 years in a row, they have won.
But they, you know, they make these little videos before every album cycle, before the new album comes out, and they have this sister, they have this like church concept going on, you know, there's right. like, they have their own church and all that, and there's a sister that's always, you know, every time they rotate singers, they're like, we need a younger, more youthful Papa.
Yes.
Then they introduce the new Papa, which is just the same singer, just in a different get up.
Yeah.
So now they're on a cardinal.
Yeah, Cardinal Copia.
So they're saying that the cardinal is like an illegitimate son between the sister and the head priest.
Yep.
And that all the papas are like his, they're, I guess they would technically be stepbrothers. They have different moms.
Yes.
So I guess...
Cardinal Copia is planned to be around for at least 5 years.
Yeah. Well, but I think though in the way their time in the album flies though, 5 years I think just means like a tour.
Yeah.
Because they've killed Papas on previous tours. They've come out and
yes.
kidnapped them. They've had this older Papa is like one called Papa Nil.
Yeah.
The one that plays sax. And he's like the yes. oldest, like the wise, decrepit one, though. And he's come out and like made an announcement. And then they send out a new Papa. So I don't know. That's what's great about him, though, because you can follow it. Like, there's an in-depth storyline that's like taken over now. I read this Reddit thing the other day. I usually don't fuck with Reddit because I know what'll happen to me.
What like, will happen to you?
It'll be 7 in the morning and I'm sitting
like
on,
start looking.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a problem. Like, I can't say no. But yeah, it's, I don't know, man. Like, they'd only get bigger unless they like made a, like an electronic album. You know what I mean?
I'm scared about that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think this guy, the guy that, you know, Tobias has such a fucking like grip on what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like it's, I don't really see how they could ever fail unless they just did something so unlike themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm interested to see like the new character, because like even the development of like the ghouls and stuff.
Yeah.
Like they started and they had cloaks and you couldn't even see any facial features.
Correct.
Then in the second album cycle, they started wearing like Eyes Wide Shut type masks with pointed noses coming out of them, and you still couldn't see their heads. Their heads weren't exposed. And then on this one, you ought to open this. Like, check this out. This is the fucking album where like when I opened it, I went, oh, hell yeah. They got the image. The image is exactly fucking perfect. Like,
that's good.
I'm telling you, dude, you're going to be like, wow, this is such an incredible photo. You're going to fucking.
And this is their second album. No,
this is the
third album. Third album. Which is one of their successful. Oh, yeah, there it is.
So then when that album came out, then it's like they've made enough money to really get the stage presentation down the way they want. And, but that's, you know, now you can see the ghouls' heads. They have horns, they have masks, but they have no mouths.
Right.
Right. So that's kind of that kind of lets you know that, like, you see it and you go, okay, well, that guy's obviously in charge. Transitions out of the band. There's a reason the other guys don't have mouths on their masks.
Correct.
And then on this one, you know, the one after it, the new one, Prequel, now they have, there's no mouth, but it's just black. So it just looks open.
Yeah.
They're cool, man. Like, this band just fucking kicks ass. Like, the art in this is great. See, this is a fucking cool.
That is badass.
I wish we had video so people could see what we're doing right now.
We're hoping to do a Twitch stream at some point soon. We'll try to get that working.
But they're, man, they're, I love them. Like, what do you think about them? Do you love them as much as I do?
Dude, I'm trying to remember how I first heard of Ghosts. I think it was from my cousin Josh and with Opus Eponymous. Is that how you pronounce it?
Opus Eponymous. However.
And I got that album. As you can see, it's a picture disc, which doesn't sound great, but you know, where else are you going to get that? And I loved it. And I love their cover of the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun. And ever since then, I'm like, yes, I like them. And then when Rats came out, I'm like, holy shit.
Holy smokes.
And then seeing them once or twice, I'm just like, holy God, they're so good live. And I love the whole art and theatrical aspect of them too.
Oh, their merch is incredible.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Shauna got this really great shirt at the show. Like, I just love the subtleties that they have, like the, you know, it's not like the blatant Led Zeppelin ripoff thing.
Correct.
They're kind of like subtle nods to their influences.
Yeah.
And the horror movie imagery, like each, you know, they have a lot of shirts that are, like they have one shirt that's The Shining.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, they have one that's King Kong, like.
They're doing well.
They're great, man. Like they took a play like right out of the Kiss playbook and ran with it.
Do you think they're better than Kiss?
It's way too early to tell.
Yeah.
Because with Kiss, I mean, Kiss is one of the bands that has kind of more bad albums than they have good albums.
Yeah, correct.
And Ghost doesn't have any
bad albums.
Yeah. The EPs, like, you know, the covers EPs and stuff.
Uh-huh.
A couple of those, I'm like, I could do without those. Like, I don't want to hear them covering the Eurythmics. Like, I think it's cool that they're not covering, you know, like, Metallica and, you know, obvious influences.
Well, that's what kind of like what Marilyn Manson does. He takes, like, the 80s songs like Sweet Dreams and the Tainted Love and Cry Little Sister.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in his wheelhouse, but he makes them pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I like when they do that.
Yeah, they're not predictable covers.
Correct.
Like, the only one that would be the Rocky Erickson one, just because their name's in the song.
Yes.
Like, if you have Ghosts.
Correct.
The concept and the idea of that song have nothing to do with it's about getting drunk.
Yeah.
Like, it's like wine never does that.
Correct.
Talking about black getting drunk and black notes.
Yeah, because Rocky Erickson is...
Demons, dude. It's about if you got personal demons is yes. what that song is.
And if you
about.
Know Rocky Erickson, he has a lot of demons inside his head. He is schizophrenic, right?
Yeah, he was like subjected to electroshock therapy.
Yeah.
Like in the 60s. They rounded him up because he was like dealing acid. And then they were like, this guy's mentally fucked up. We need to zap him in the head with this taser or something.
Yep.
It's like, oh, yeah, that'll straighten him out.
He plays at the Texas Theater consistently. Not Texas Theater, Kessler.
He consistently. Has a, he wrote a song called I Walked with a Zombie.
Oh, no, I have that album. It's
you know what song. The lyrics to that song are?
Yeah, I Walk with a Zombie.
last night.
Yeah, last night.
That's the whole song.
You know, well, so he did like a horror album in like... There's a song that I dedicate to my dog Bug. It's called Two-Headed Dog.
Yeah, Two-Headed Dog.
Two-Headed Dog. Yeah, I've dude. Been working in the graveyard with a two-headed dog. And that's literally it. And pretty much...
Is that Night of the Vampire?
I think so, yes. But he did a whole like whole album of like horror-esque songs. But yes, yeah. I walked with a zombie last night.
Yeah, dude.
And all of his songs on that album, whatever the title is like the first... thing he says in the song.
Yeah.
It's basically just the chorus, the whole song, but it's great.
Yeah. Fucking dude, Rocky Erickson rules. But yeah, man, I hope Ghost never makes a misstep, but it's hard to tell if they could be better than Kiss. They would have to always constantly redevelop the gimmick, like the shtick for the band.
Yeah.
And I think at some point they would almost have to make a movie. Like how Kiss, because that's the one thing Kiss tried to do. And they, when they did it, they
the
failed.
One?
No, the Phantom of the Park.
Oh yeah, Phantom of the Park.
Hands down, the worst movie ever. I'm serious. Like, try to watch it. Try to watch that movie.
No, it's been a long time because I have seen it.
But it's, man, it's brutal. But they would have to make a movie, and it would be like the best horror movie of all time.
Let's hope so.
They would have
got the right talent.
That's what I'm
it.
Saying. They would have to like transcend the.
Because Dee Snider got into horror movies from Twisted Sister, and while his are okay, they never hit mainstream like
but
Rob Zombie did.
Exactly. So they would have to crush the Rob Zombie stuff.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And I think they could do it, because with the concept of the, how is this Papa aging backwards, right? And then where did they all come from?
No, I think it'd
like
be bad.
How did they end up? How did this?
Why don't we write a script for them?
No, fuck no. I don't want to have. Because I want that guy to do what he's going
to
do.
Well, why can't we, like, push him to...
I don't want to, because he'll think of something that totally hasn't been thought of.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I want to be a fan.
Okay.
Like, when he came into the store, I was like, wow, cool, really neat. And I talked to him for a good amount of time. I let him know who I knew who he was.
Better
than
Robert Plant.
A lot much more pleasant. Like, he would... Because he's a music fan.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Robert Plant is too, but, you know, he's Robert Plant.
Correct.
I mean, this Tobias Forge guy, he's kind of like, and that was on Meliora.
Okay.
That album cycle.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, man, there was a point with like rock and like metal where I was like, man, I'm so over it. Like it was all this rehashing of the same sounding crap. The same riffs, you know, the Cookie Monster vocals. I was like, you can only listen to that stuff for so long.
Right.
And then these guys came along and put like this, not a pop element into it, but hooks.
Yeah.
Like it was okay to have melody, you know,
yeah.
Like it was like melody is awesome. You know, like it makes a song. It's like conducive to songwriting. If you just want to go up there and fucking, you know, Slayer it the whole time. That's cool, but that's like a one-trick pony.
Right.
These guys can fucking hit a lot of things in music that I really, really enjoy a lot. You know, they're Beatles-esque. They're like a heavy version of the Beatles. There's three or four-part harmonies going on in their songs. There's fucking mellotrons and shit. There's strings. There's like crushing-ass guitar. They're cool. Like, I told them, I was like, man, you kind of re-sparked the thing that like I fell in love with rock music, like anthemic rock music.
Yeah.
He kind of relit the flame for me.
In a better way than I think most people have done over the last decade or so.
Yeah, like it's just genuine. Like, and then they also have the thing I noticed at the show the other night. I was like, dude, these guys could play for 2.5 hours, and every song that they play is exactly meant to be in an arena. Like,
yeah,
they're supposed to be playing in front of like 10,000 people a night.
I agree.
Those songs are so fucking good.
I agree.
I mean, I don't know. Have you seen a full concert of theirs, or have you only seen them when they opened for Maiden?
I think it's only been for Maiden.
Okay, so that's what when you see them do their entire set, they'll blow you away. You'll go, I can't believe they have that many great songs and they've only been around for 10 years.
They do something right.
He's genuine. Like to me, there's certain things that, not that my ears are better than anyone else's, but there's a thing that happens with me in music where, like, I can hear the genuine thing that's happening in it.
Yeah.
Like, if I listen to, like, fucking Blink 182 or, like, Creed or Nickelback, I can hear instantly that there's a production thing that happens where this is meant to appeal to a mass portion of people.
Right.
And on these guys' albums, it's a very weird production, and it is unique. Like, it sounds very unique. It's like, that's why Metallica sounded so different than like any other bands,
mm-hmm.
is they would speed up their tape a little bit in the like mastering side of things. So you tune a guitar to like A440, right?
Right.
They would play it like 441.
Uh-huh.
It was that little nuancey thing that just made them sound different. So they're not sonically trying to play the popularity contest. Like,
which is good.
It's fucking awesome. They're a rock band. Like, they should just be
pushing the bounds.
No, they're just be playing rock and roll music, man. They're not into getting cute and fucking like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just playing music. They just, I don't know, man. They're fucking good. They're a badass band.
Yeah, they are great. And like Jacob said, right now they have expanded their band to include a third guitarist, two female keyboardists, referred to as the Goulettes, and Papa Neil on saxophone.
Yeah.
So, damn good.
Yeah, man. They're cool, dude. I fucking love them.
So, that is
Ghost. And if you don't like them, fuck you.
Yeah. You don't have good taste if you don't like Ghost.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. And you shouldn't be allowed to celebrate Halloween.
Agreed.
Dick.
Dick. And that is our Halloween episode of The Unbalanced Note, number 12 on the Multimedia Men Podcast Network. Just type in Boomstick Comics into iTunes and Stitcher Radio and you'll find us. And go look up Ghost. Go buy their albums. They are fucking amazing. You'll love them.
Yeah, and start chronologically. Just start at the beginning.
Start at the very beginning.
And do the Monster Mash.
And do the mash. Jacob, they can find you on Instagram, correct?
Yeah, if you want to.
Scrumchalescence?
Not really much going on there anymore. I don't really fuck with Instagram anymore.
What do you fuck with?
Nothing.
Snapchat?
I've never had a Snapchat.
YouTube?
I watch a lot of YouTube.
Pornhub?
Don't do Pornhub.
Okay.
Reddit. I told you I got on a Reddit.
Oh, what's
thing.
Your name on Reddit?
I don't have a Reddit. I just
You're
read
a lurker.
It. Yeah, I'm a lurker. Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I guess you can lurk on Pornhub too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I'm on Reddit. Lewis Tully 9000.
You just have a bogus name. That's what I would do.
Lewis Tully. Like, you know who that's from? You know what that is, right?
Well, I would put my name as Vincent Frontcrotch.
Firecrotch?
No, front. Well, Firecrotch, sure, whatever.
Do you know what Lewis Tully's from?
No.
That is Rick Moranis' character from Ghostbusters. Lewis Tully.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Lewis.
Ted and Annette, take off your coats.
Yeah, come on in.
All right. Come look us up on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We love you. Happy Halloween.